Said to Becky this morning, you need to sing that song you sang at our Christmas Eve service. And I always appreciate so much when she ministers. And Carter, I really enjoyed your song this morning. I heard that line in there about faith, and I thought, that's the message this morning. Amen. God is so good. He is so amazingly good. I just want you to know that I'm just so glad to be here. I love to come to this church. It's one of the highlights of my month to get to come over here and just to be with you folks. And I'm so glad that the Hoke family, I was able to encourage them to come. Todd is one of my greatest encouragers. And I appreciate him so much. And Mel and Donna have just been a blessing to us. I'm reading this morning from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're talking about faith. How many of you know that if you want to please God, you've got to have faith? In fact, the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Here we are. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony, good report. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. Listen to this testimony, that he pleased God. What's the testimony we leave behind? That was his testimony, that he pleased God. What an amazing epitaph to have on your tombstone, but he didn't have a tombstone. Because God simply took him. He walked with God and suddenly he was gone. And then the word says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that come to him must believe, number one, that he is, right here, right now. Number two, that if we diligently seek him, we will find him. If we seek him with all of our heart. Because that's his promise to us. For he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Father, in the name of Jesus, will you open your word to us this morning and give us that which will lift us and encourage us, Father, to be God pleasers. Oh God, we want to please you in all things. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake, praising your name, Father. Amen. I want to talk this morning about something so simple that it almost doesn't need to be said. And yet, it's one of the biggest problems that we're faced with. And that is just simple faith. Simple faith. God made faith so simple. All we have to do is believe him. The word says, if you will not believe, you will not be established. So if you want to be established, you've got to believe. And so as we think about this today and ask the Lord for his direction to our heart, I want to ask you, do you believe God? Do you remember Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, was in the temple and he was ministering. He was going about the work of the Lord. He was doing exactly what he was trained to do, and he was doing it diligently. He had a good testimony before God. And suddenly, as he's offering the incense, he looks and there's an angel standing beside him. Somebody that wasn't expected to be there. And he drew back and looked and wondered, what is this? What is happening? And the angel said what all angels seem to always have to say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then he told him how God had chosen Elizabeth and Zacharias to be the father of the forerunner of Jesus. What an amazing thing. You see, Elizabeth had never been able to have a child. Zacharias had always wanted to hold his own son. What an amazing moment that is. I remember when Becky was expecting Ethan. We got to the hospital and I said to the doctor, I will be in the room when the baby's born. And the doctor said, well, it all depends on the anesthesia. I says, you don't understand. I will be in the room. And then we had to go down to Pittsburgh to the hospital, so I had to go through the whole thing all over again. And the doctor really didn't like my forcefulness on it. But it was big to me. This was so important to me. I wanted to be in every moment of that child's life and beginning right there. And I made it. He didn't like it too well, the doctor, but he allowed it to happen. You see, Zacharias has never had that privilege of holding his own son. Elizabeth has always gone through the shame of not being able to be a mother, and that was a shame in those days. It was as if somehow God had cursed her that she couldn't bear a son, because every Jewish woman was to be a mother of children, and especially of sons, and she didn't have that, and now they're old and they've passed the time of life, and all of a sudden here's this angel saying, Elizabeth is going to have a child. And you know what his reaction was? I don't believe it. Now, he doesn't say it in those words. But he says, how shall I know that what you're saying is true? And the angel said, because you did not believe, you will not be able to speak for the whole 9-month period before the baby comes. You know, I never thought about it until this morning. Why that? Why wouldn't he be able to speak? Now, I talked about it last week, and I've talked about it, but I never stopped to say, well, why was this the thing that was given to him? Because with our mouth, we speak words of faith or words of doubt. Can you imagine his going home to Elizabeth and saying, you know, I had the funny thing happen to me at the office today. I was there and all of a sudden this angel was there. At least that appeared to be, it looked like an angel. Well, he scared me when he came in and he said this real crazy thing. He said, you're going to get pregnant and have a baby and you know that's impossible. And I know. And he could have talked himself right out of a miracle. And so the Lord just closed his lips. I mean, you know, with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. It's the words we say. And so the angel, to protect the miracle, shut his mouth that he was not able to speak for the whole period of time. And then when the birth took place, he still didn't get his voice back. And he's writing everything out. All the things have to be written out. And then comes the day, 8 days later, when he is about to be named. And he's being offered to the Lord. And little baby. And the neighbors are all in there. And they say, oh, look at little Zacharias. And Elizabeth said, no, his name is John. John? You don't have anybody in your family named John. Why wouldn't you name him? And they turned to Zacharias, said, you know, when somebody is deaf, that's one thing. But when they just can't speak, it doesn't mean they're deaf. And so they begin to make signs to him. You know, just ask him the question, you know, why are you doing it? Because he can hear you fine. And he asked for paper, and he wrote out, his name is John, and his mouth was opened. And when his mouth was opened, the first thing that he did when his mouth was open, began to prophesy. God gave him a great prophecy. And so that out of his mouth now flows words of faith and excitement of what God is going to do and a prophecy of the coming of Jesus. It all flows out of his mouth. The mouth that God had to close so that he wouldn't speak the negative things. What would happen to us if every time we want to speak a negative word, we'd lose our voice? Every time we want to say something negative, we'd lose it. You know, I've known very few people in my life that did not at some time or other speak negative things. Becky's mom was one. Never heard her say a negative word. Her kids never heard her saying a negative word. Her sisters never heard her say an unkind word. She just always, out of her mouth, was faith and love. I said to her when she came to live, I said, you can live with us forever. Such an encouraging person. Just an amazing. I mean, people talk about their mother-in-law. Let me tell you, she was a mother-in-law to be had. She was an amazing woman because out of her mouth always came encouragement. Always came encouragement. Never negative statements. Oh, if the Lord could help us with our mouth, we would be people of much greater faith. Our faith would grow if we weren't allowed to say some of the things that come to us so naturally. How many of you know negativity is a very natural thing? It can just hit you, especially if you've done something or somebody's done something to you or you've been hurt or your feelings have been hurt or something else has happened and you haven't gotten what you wanted. Negativity can just rise to the top instead of faith rising up in our heart. So I ask you today, where's your faith? Jesus asked that question. You know, the disciples are out there in the boat and all of a sudden the wind comes up and the waves begin to roar and the boat is going up and down and Jesus is asleep and they come and they wake him. Master, don't you care that we perish? They aren't going to perish. The Son of God is with them. He's in the boat. When he's in the boat, it's not going to sink. It's not going to sink because he's there. And Jesus wakes up. He says, where's your faith? Where's your faith? You know, Jesus has to do this so often with his disciples. Oh, you of little faith. Where's your faith? Why don't you have faith? It's a question he asks over and over and over. And so I want us to look at this today and say to ourselves, where's my faith? Am I a man, a woman, a young person of faith? Do I really believe what God says? If I were to ask the question in many congregations today, how many of you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're saved? Several people in the congregation would raise their hands, but there would be others that would not raise their hand because they don't know. They're not sure. Now, what does the Word of God say? As many as received him, Christ, to them he gave power to become, what? The sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Now there it is. Here's a scripture. If we confess our sins, John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can't have it written out any more clearly than that. If you recognized you are a sinner, or if as a believer you have sinned, oh, God can never forgive me. What I've done, God can never forgive me. Wait, what does the word say? If we confess our sin, Lord, I sinned and I am sorry. Will you forgive me for that sin, Lord? I am so sorry for it. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't leave anything to the imagination there. He puts it right out in plain language that if we as believers confess our sin and we ask his forgiveness, it doesn't matter what it is. He says, if you will confess it to me, if you'll acknowledge that I was right, that you were wrong, if you will say, I have sinned, and you will recognize that sin was sin, and you will ask for forgiveness, the Bible says he will not only forgive you, but he will clean you. He'll wash it away. The Bible says he will take our sin and remove it from us as far as the east is from the west. so far has he removed our sins from us. The Bible says he will take your sin and bury it in the depths of the deepest sea to remember it against you no more forever. You say, where's the deepest sea? The deepest sea is the sea of flaming hell. Jesus took your sins down there. When he died on the cross, he descended into hell with all of the sin of all the world, and he laid it off from him, and it's buried in the depths of the sea of hell. It is buried there in the lake of fire. It is there, gone, to be remembered against you no more forever. What an amazing truth that is. That I don't have to go through life hoping I'm saved. I don't have to go through life saying, well, I think I'm ready. I hope I'm ready. I'll tell you, when you're ready to leave this world, you want more than I think so. You need an I know so. And I know so because, not because I've done something, but I know so because he has done something that was all-inclusive. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, not through us, through him, might have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life. That's God couldn't make it more clear. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, he says, I'm giving you absolutely everything you need for your faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The word. Faith comes by hearing. What? Hearing the word of God. And so as I hear God's word, into my heart it comes. It sinks there. I was thinking today of a good friend of mine. He used to say to me, I'll come Monday morning, you'll see me. I'll be there Monday morning. So Monday morning I'd be ready. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. By noon I thought, he's not coming. And he didn't. The next time he said, you want to go with me? Yeah, I'd like to go with you. He said, okay, I'll see you Tuesday morning, 8 o'clock. Tuesday morning, 8 o'clock, I'm ready. He doesn't show up. I finally call him on the phone and say, hey, where are you? Oh, he said, it changed my mind. Oh, that was great. I had no problem with changing his mind, but let me know, you know. Next time I heard him say, hey, I'm coming over to see you. I said, okay, I didn't change any plans. I left all my plans the way they were. Why? Because if he comes, fine, but the chances are he won't. Let me tell you a secret. Anytime Jesus has told you something, he's done it. It is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible. God can't lie. And so when God says, I'm going to do it, you say, well, he said he's coming back and he hasn't come yet. Oh, it's true, but he's still coming. He's still coming. He didn't give us the day or the hour. But he said, I'm coming. And I can tell you right now, he's coming. It's as sure as anything in all this universe is sure. Jesus Christ is going to come again. And he's going to receive us. The trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise into the air. We which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the air. Amen. Can't you just see, Jeannie, you're just going up there, and all of a sudden there's mom reaching over, grabbing your hand. Yeah. And dad's on the other hand. Yeah. See, because that's the promise. That's what God said. God said, they will rise, and we will rise with them, and we will meet them in the air. All the way headed home. It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. Just as sure as God is in his heaven, it's going to happen. Because God cannot lie. God only can tell the truth. And God never, ever has failed. Here's what the Word of God says. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Luke chapter 11, verse 13. how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? People say, oh, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what keeps you from being filled with the Spirit of God? Sin. Okay, sin. That'll do it. But what do you do about sin? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so that impediment to being filled with God's Spirit can easily be dealt with through confession and repentance. What else can keep us from being filled with the Spirit of God? Well, wanting our own way. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Okay, so I've got to die to self. I've got to be willing to say, Lord, not my will, your will be done. Just as Jesus said it in the garden, so if I want to be filled with God's Spirit, I have to come to the place. I say, Lord, it's not my will, it's your will, whatever you want. Lord, you can use me any way you want. You cannot use me. It's whatever you want to do. It's whatever you choose to do, God. And so therefore, that impediment of my will is taken out of the way. It's crucified. It's nailed to the cross. The Bible says, how much more shall your heavenly Father, more than you want him, more than you desire him, he desires to fill your life. He desires to come into your life. He desires to take control of your life. He desires to give you a great and rich and full life. Wonderful. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And as we ask him, many people are not filled with God's Spirit because they refuse to believe. I was there. You've heard my testimony, some of you, on it. I prayed and prayed to God to fill me with the Spirit. I was at the altar every time the altar was open. The whole problem was I wasn't believing what God said until finally one day at NIAC on my knees, the Lord said, you refuse to believe me. I've said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? And you're looking for a sign. You're looking for an evidence. I learned a secret that day. Evidence follows. It doesn't precede. You don't get the evidence first and then you believe. You believe first and then the evidence is followed. You say, what's the evidence? You'll begin to lift up Jesus. The Word of God says, when the Spirit of God comes into your life, he will glorify Jesus. He will lift up Jesus. And that day I said, Lord, I believe you. And right now I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come into my life. And I believed him to do it. And he did it. And then the evidence of his presence began to follow in my life. You see, it's all about faith. I can't please God if I refuse to believe God. If I refuse to believe God, then I can't please God. I can't be a God pleaser. You know, a lot of people are people pleasers, but what we really need is to be God pleasers. That we really please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. They that come to him must believe that he is. Where? Right here, right now. You know, a lot of people believe he is. Up there someplace, out there someplace. No, you have to believe he is right here, right now. He says, lo, I am with you. How often? Always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's the promise of the God of the universe. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You can trust my word. It will not fail you. I will be faithful. The Bible says when he comes, he has a name written, faithful and true. Faithful. He has been faithful all the time. He has met us in our deepest hours. He has met us when we didn't know what to do. You know, one of the greatest lessons you can learn is to learn to trust God to supply your needs. I mean, you know, God says, I will supply all of your need. That's what the apostle told us. He will supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I remember at Portersville one year we were broke. We didn't have money enough to make the payment of the teachers, to pay the teachers. And we had about $1,000 in the bank, and that's all we had, and we didn't have any proof of it be any more, and we had till Friday to pay the teachers. They said, what bank can we go to? And I happened to be on the board at the time. I said, why go to the bank? Let's go to the Lord. I said, the Bible says, give and it will be given to you. How many of you know that's a scriptural verse? Give and it shall be given unto you. I said, let's find a school that's more broke than we are. That was hard to do. But we found a school down in North Carolina that was more broke than we were, and we sent them the $1,000 that we had, saying, Lord, this is seed. We're going to sow our seed, and you promised. You've given us seed to sow and bread to eat, and so, Lord, we're going to trust you. Can I tell you, when payment for the teachers came up, every teacher was paid, and I don't think we ever had another financial problem like that in all the years that I was at Portersville. Why? Because God keeps his promise. God says, I will supply all of your need. He doesn't say the bank will. When we went to build Faith Fellowship, we didn't go to see what kind of deal we could get at the bank. We said, Lord, how do you want to do it? And the Lord said, this is how we're going to do it. And he gave me a plan for it. And we built the church totally debt-free. We did not have to go in debt for that church. We got behind one time, stopped everything until we caught up, went ahead. The day we dedicated that church, it was totally debt-free. The other day, we needed a van. I think we mentioned that van here. You need to see our new van. It's beautiful. We needed it. Andy announced in church one day, he said, we need $50,000 to buy our new van. So we're starting a van fund to do it. Can I tell you, that week, a check for $50,000 came in, $45,000 for the van. And we have a brand new van now. It's totally paid for. We don't owe a cent on it. Can I tell you, God wants to do this for us. He wants to become our all-sufficient supplier. He wants to be our assurance. Remember the song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This is the secret. It's faith. Simple faith. And simple faith is taking God at his word and believing him. He doesn't always work on our time schedule, but he always is faithful. One day I was lying in our motorhome in the driveway back when we had the motorhome, and I was just lying there and relaxing, and I said, Lord, tell me something new about yourself, something I don't know. And he said, I am good. I said, I know that. He said, I'm good. And all of a sudden I realized I didn't really know that at all. Not like he was telling me. He was saying, I've never done anything that wasn't perfectly good. I've never done anything that wasn't absolutely the best for your life. And I thought of things in my life that were very painful. Lord, was that good? I have to believe that because he can't do anything that is not good, that it was good. It was good. God is faithful. I've cried sometimes over things that have happened. I've wept. Lord, why? Why? People say we shouldn't ask God why. Can I tell you something? God does not care if you ask him why. Are you with me on that? Somebody told me the other day, well, I know we shouldn't ask why. Why? Why shouldn't you ask why? It's all right to ask God why. Because there's something happening in my life that I need to know why. I need to understand. And I may not understand it all, but I need to be able to say, God, why did this happen? Now, God, why did you do this to me? That's not the attitude of why. But Lord, why? Why have you done this? I want to know, Lord. I want to learn. I want to understand. I want to know because I want to be able to trust you in every area. And God, this is an area that really, really wrecks me. But God, why did this happen in my life? Sometimes he'll tell me right away, and sometimes he say, just wait. I'll reveal it later on. God is so faithful. And so I ask you today, do you have simple faith? Simple faith. Say, oh, I wish I had great faith. Get simple faith first. Simple faith is just simply believing God. He said it. I believe it. That settles it. Some of you remember that old, I don't know if that was a chorus or what it was. He said it, I believe it, that settles it. And if it settles it in our mind, then praise God, we've begun to understand simple faith. Would you bow your heads with me, please? While we're bowed before the Lord, I want you to let the Spirit of God just search your heart. And ask you a question, do you believe? do you believe? He said it. Do I believe it? That's all he asks us to do, is to believe. How many would say today by the uplifted hand, just by raising your hand, Pastor Dick, I needed to hear this today because I've been going through a difficult time. Would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up. Let me see it. Yes. I see those hands. Yes. Yes. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. That's all the songs of our life. Most of them have been written just for us to have our faith grow. Father, I thank you for each one today who's here. I thank you for the word of God that is quick and powerful and sharp. And I thank you, O God, that it's filled with the promises that you've made and that you've never broken a promise. Father, in the name of Jesus, will you open to us the promises of God and help us to see and understand that you are working in our life to bring us into the very image of your Son, Jesus. Lord, for each one that raised their hand today, I pray to God you will especially encourage them today with your presence. May they realize afresh and new how wonderful you are, and that you've done all things well. And you're looking to say to us one day, well done, good and faithful, good and full of faith servant. And then to remind us, you have not called us servants, for a servant does not know what his master does, but you have called us friends, because we've moved into that area of faith with you, where you know that we trust you in all things, and you call us friend. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Walk in faith this week. When God said it, believe it. Amen? Amen. God bless you.